Okay. So what I'd like to do is first define what we're going to be talking about today. We have had a couple of sermons on this the last 2 weeks about Daniel's rule of life. But really what we're talking about is found in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. It's listed there on your follow-along sheet. What we see Paul telling his mentee Timothy is that there is a training or there is a discipline by which we can discipline ourselves for godliness. So he tells Timothy to train himself or to discipline himself to be godly. So just like we can train ourselves in other disciplines, we can also train ourselves in the discipline of being godly. The rule of life is what we would call, it offers us unique and regular rhythms that could free us and open us up first to the will of God. When we talk about the rule of life, one of our main goals is that we would be doing the will of God more regularly than we already are. And then the second thing that we know that the rule of life will open us up to or free us up to is this idea of the presence of Christ. So we go about our daily lives. Sometimes we come to church and say, Lord, may the presence of the Lord be in this place. Well, that's nice, but the presence of the Lord is already there, because the presence of the Lord is in you, is in me. If we are Christians, if we're truly, genuinely Christians, we've been converted, we have the Holy Spirit with us. Wherever we go, we bring him with us. It says when there are two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst, because he's there inside of us, and we have gathered in his name, he's there. We gather not in his name, he's there because he's in us. But we would have to admit that a lot of times we are not even aware that God's presence there. We're not thinking about it. We're not conscious of it, right? It's like you're in a room right now. You might be conscious of the people that are at your table, but you might not be conscious of the people that are at another table because you haven't been talking to them. They're not at your table. So they're in the room. They're there, and maybe you have some vague awareness of the other people in the room, but you're not really tuned into it. And I think it's true that could be true with God. And, I talk with my friends from time to time about this, and we talk about how we go through our work day, and sometimes we can go through a whole work day or a big chunk of our work day and not be aware that God is with us in that work and that we're doing that work for him. And my friends who aren't pastors have a hard time imagining that I actually do that sometimes when I'm working. I can go be working on something and realize after a good long while, I have no awareness right now of God's presence with me as I'm banging my head on this spreadsheet here trying to figure out some problem, you know, that I need to figure out. So it happens to all of us. We want to open ourselves to the will of God. We want to open ourselves to the presence of Christ so that we're more aware of his presence. There was one brother who talked about practicing the presence of God. What he wanted to do when he was in his kitchen as a monk and doing his kitchen duties, he wanted that time to be just as special with the presence of the Lord as when he was in the cathedral with the other brothers singing great worship songs together. He wanted to have that same feeling of Christ's presence while he was washing his pans, while the guy next to him was splashing him with the water, while the one over here was saying, hurry up with that pan or that pot, I have to make some food over here, come on, a little faster. He wanted to practice Christ's presence in all those moments, and that captured my attention when I read his book. So what we're talking about here is the spiritual practices of a rule provide a way for us to partner with the Holy Spirit for personal transformation. So we know the Holy Spirit is trying to work in our lives, trying to transform us, and simply a rule of life, we want to help us partner with the Holy Spirit. So a rule of life can help us then partner with the Holy Spirit for the work that he wants to do in our lives. One of the images that has been helpful to me to think about is an idea of a scaffold. When painters come into this building and they paint the high parts, they usually bring some kind of system that they can stand on, something that will keep them safe to then get to the higher levels. And the idea here is that we might have a scaffold of disciplines that would support our heart's desire to grow in loving God and others. So each one of us, if we are a believer, we have inside of us this desire to love God and love others. The question is whether or not we have a scaffold that will allow us to do that. If the painters don't bring a scaffold with them, they're not going to reach the upper levels of our building to be able to paint it. And so this idea of a rule of life can help us go higher and deeper with the Lord. If we have this scaffold set up, there's more that we're able to experience, I believe, of God. Another image that might be helpful is the trellis. The trellis is something that the vine grows up on, and the vine is able to produce fruit on the trellis. And if it has a trellis, usually the fruit won't fall off. It'll stay on there. And eventually the whole trellis will be filled with ivy or filled with grapes or whatever you're trying to get up on that trellis. So the idea here is we have a trellis. It's an intentional growing that we recognize that we want to intentionally grow in the Lord. Instead of what someone said was devolving into unintended chaos. Okay? If I just go about my day and I'm not aware of the presence of God and I'm not involved in my disciplines, then what happens is a devolving of unintended chaos. Someone comes to my door and they say something to me, and maybe they just told me an upsetting story. And then so I get a phone call, and then I have to answer this email. And before I know it, my day is completely chaotic, and I'm not aware of Christ's presence in that moment. Now, those things are still going to happen. That person's going to come to the door, I'm going to get a phone call, I have to answer the email. But if I'm centered in my disciplines, then I see those things for what they are, and I'm able to be present with those things and not have those things place me into like some kind of spiral. So that's the idea. This idea of a trellis is another way of looking at the rule of life. And then the other one that also caught my attention this week as I was studying was the idea of a ruler. A ruler that we could use to measure how we are becoming what we know God wants us to be. Okay? So in our rule, what we might be able to do are write some statements in our rule that would help us think about what is it that we want to become? What is it that we believe God wants us to become? Do we feel like maybe this year God wants us to become more loving or more patient or whatever it is? Then this rule of life could help create a ruler for us. So 6 months from now, we can look, we could take out the rule and we could say, have I become more loving? Let me ponder that. Let me think about that. Let me ask my wife. Let me ask my friends. Have they seen any evidence of love in my life? So it could provide a rule in that sense to say, how am I doing at becoming what I believe God is wanting me to become? Okay? So there's different ways of looking at it. Anyone else heard of any other images for a rule of life that you found helpful? Okay, you think of something later? You can bring it up. Let's take a moment and pray, and then we're going to read some scripture to make sure that what we're talking about today is grounded in God's word. Lord, thank you that we could gather here in your name, and we know that because we're gathered in your name, that your presence is here with us, and we want to open ourselves up to what your will may be for each one of us individually. We want to recognize your presence even as we talk about your presence, that we might recognize it here, that we may be able to hear that still small voice that you often speak in, that whisper, that we might be able to tune into that today to figure out what are some of the things you want us to incorporate in our lives so that we can grow closer to you and others. So, Lord, we pray that you would take this time. We pray that you would consecrate it. It would be set aside, Lord, for you to get glory for yourself. And I pray, Lord, that we'll learn from each other as we are able to talk about the things that we're learning here and that we can learn from each other, but most of all, that we can learn from your word. We pray that your word will come alive to us as we read it now. Amen. All right, I think I had three scriptures there. I'm wondering if someone would read that the first one. It's this would be Deuteronomy chapter 30, selected verses from Deuteronomy 30 in the Message translation.
This commandment that I'm commanding you today isn't too much for you. It's not out of your reach. Look at what I've done for you today. I've placed in front of you life and good, death and evil. And I command you today, love God, your God. Walk in his ways, keep his commandments, regulations, and rules so that you will live, really live exuberantly, blessed by God, your God, in the land you are about to enter and possess. Choose life so that you and your children will live. And love God, your God, listening obediently to him, firmly embracing him. Oh yes, he is life itself, a long life settled on the soil that God, your God, promised to give.
Thank you. We have another verse or verses there. Who will read the next set, the next one? Oh, thank you.
I have come that they may have life and have it to the full.
Okay. So life in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, choose life, God says. Here in the New Testament, Jesus picks up on the word life. He says that he wants us to live life to the full. And then there's another verse there as well. Is there one more? Who will read that one? Thank you.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete.
Okay. And that is selections from John chapter 15. Okay, so that gives us an idea of what we're talking about. Do you think of any other scriptures that come to mind when you think of rule of life? We've talked about rule of life for a couple weeks now. Did any other scriptures come to your consciousness as we were talking about that?
Proverbs 3:5-6.
Okay.
Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct the path.
Okay, so in all our ways, acknowledging God so that he can direct our paths. Okay, good. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So sometimes people want to know. I know I wanted to know because when I was growing up, I never heard of a rule of life. For a long part of my Christian journey, no one ever used those words. So when I first heard it used, I said, that must not be like biblical because it's not in the Bible, or I would have known about it by now. So the little bit of history behind this is in the 3rd century to the 5th century, there were people who decided to withdraw from society. They withdrew into places like Egypt and Syria and Palestine and Arabia, and their main desire was to seek God in their withdrawing from society. They wanted to free themselves from the distractions of their lives, wherever they were, and they wanted to be with God, basically. And a number of these monks later formed communities, and they organized their daily lives on an agreed-upon plan consisting of things like work and prayer and study of Scripture. And they called this, whatever they did, a rule of life. So this goes way back into the first few centuries of Christian thought and Christian life. Really, we'd have to say that the climax was with Benedict. And he was from around AD 480 to 547. And his rule of life is the most famous one. And it really has shaped monasticism ever since. So his rule of life is kind of important for those who want to look back at the history of this. The rule of Saint Benedict it also continues to guide thousands of people around the world even today, and people of all church traditions. So it's been very popular. So what we would say is that there is a great and varied gift here in the rule of life, and its goal is to help us regulate our entire lives in such a way that we truly prefer the love of Christ above all other things. Now, the trick for us is we are not withdrawing from society into a group of people who have all decided they're going to live out a particular rule. So for us, it's a little bit more challenging. than perhaps it was for some of these people. But I think there's something we can learn from seeing the way they live and trying to figure out how can we do that in our own lives, in our 9-to-5. Yes?
Recently, Ruth and I visited St. Joseph's Abbey in Spencer, Mass. with a group of other people, and we met Brother Francis. Now, Brother Francis is a 91-year-old monk, and when he shared his life in the monastery, he said two very short things, but there was so the way he expressed them was so moving. He said that through his life in the monastery, that he experienced a couple of things in his milestones of his life there. One was he really experienced the love of God. And when he said that, I could just, it just moved me so much that you could tell he really did experience the love of God. He also said that he's experienced being in Christ. Again, when he said those words, I could hear him truly meaning that. So I just want to say that to you, just to say that experience was very, very truly evident of the life that he's lived.
Thank you, Gene. I'm glad you brought that up, because when I was on sabbatical, I was gone from the church here about, I think, 2 or 3 months. Back a few years ago, and I spent several days, I mean 3 or 4 days maybe, at this place. And so that was my question. When I watched the way that they had organized their lives, I was asking myself when I came back, how can I organize my life based on what I learned from them? It's going to be very different, because they are cloistered monks. They don't come out of the cloister, but they come out into the chapel, and you get to see what they're doing in the chapel, and one of them comes out of the cloister and meets with a group of people who might be retreating there. So you get a taste of their life, but not the whole thing. So thank you for bringing that up. So the idea here is there may be a very gift in the rule of life. It's something that Christians have done for a long time, and maybe some of us, this is new to us, and it's good for us to kind of unearth this treasure and see what might be here for us. So I want to talk about, what does it include? What does a rule of life include? So one of the things it includes is nurturing disciplines that draw you more deeply into loving God. So that word nurture is something we think about when we think about a trellis and we think about growth and spiritual growth. The idea, these are nurturing disciplines. They are what it also includes is creating rhythms that honor our desires and limits. And when it says our desires, I'm speaking of the desires inside of us that are godly. I'm not talking about the desires that are off the rails, so to speak, that aren't of Christ. But the desires that God's placed in us, a longing for Him and a longing to be right with other people. So what rhythms might I have that would honor those desires? And what rhythms might I have in my life that would also look at my limits? So I have some limits now that I didn't have when I was in college, that I didn't have when I first started in ministry. There's certain things I can't do. There's certain ways of being that just wouldn't work for me right now as a father of 3 children, as a pastor at this church, as someone who has a counseling ministry outside the church. So my life is arranged in a certain way that there's some limits. So how are my rhythms going to fit within those limits? Because God has given me those limits at this moment. How are my rhythms going to fit into that? The next thing is periodically assessing your spiritual journey, not by comparison to others, but through your unique rule. And that's the blessing of this, is that we're not going to look at each other's rules and say, is yours better than mine? Is mine better than yours? And 6 months from now, we're not going to compare our rules. We're going to look at the rule that we've created and say, what has God done in my life over this last 6 months? What changes might I need to make to my rule? But we'll be comparing ourselves and our spiritual growth to what we believe God was trying to do in us today, and see how far did we get, right? So it wouldn't be comparing with one another, but comparing to this rule that we create. We also are able to develop a spiritual growth pathway that perfectly suits our stage of life and personality. So these are some things. We're all perhaps in a different stage of life, or maybe some of us are in the same stage. But you're in a different stage now than you were 6 months ago, or 6 years ago, or a decade ago. And so, what is your rule going to look like now at this stage? And also taking into account your personality. Some of the spiritual disciplines work great for some personalities, and some of them don't work great for others. All right. And I'll explain that as we go along later, but you want to take that into consideration, because what works for you may not work for the person next to you, because you have different personalities. I have, you know, two daughters in my house. They couldn't be any more different, you know. And so one thing that's going to work for one of them isn't necessarily going to work for another one. Now, are they both need to learn scripture and read scripture? Yes. But how they're going to do it is going to differ. Do they both need to pray? Yes, but one of them is going to do it one way and another one's going to do it another way. And so try not putting a cookie cutter approach on this. And then the last thing here about what it includes is developing regular, repeated relationships, experiences, and practices that make space for God in the busyness of life. So we're talking about things that happen regularly in our lives. Some of them are relationships that we want to engage in that might be part of our rule. For monks, it is the people that they work with and sing with and all that. They have these relationships. And we have relationships. And how are we going to use those relationships well to help us with our spiritual growth? And what practices are we going to choose to help make space for God? All right. So that's page one. If you want to turn over to page two now, I want to talk very briefly about what fruit you could expect from having a rule of life and applying a rule of life. The first thing I would say is deep down change. I think about the deep down change that God has made in my life, and I always think about what my rule of life was during that time when God did some of this deep work in me. And some of it for me was in college. And God did some really deep changes in me, and it was as a result of the particular rule of life that I chose during that time that I was in college that I really needed. And kind of, I think I more fell into it. I mean, God kind of dropped it in my lap. I can't take credit for putting together this tremendous rule. It happened. God placed it in front of me. The second thing is that thing I think it does for us is it keeps the chaotic whatever life at bay. Remember I mentioned earlier, it's like the sand of our days is going to come flowing in. It's going to fill up our day, and it's going to be kind of chaotic unless we have this rule of life. We would talk about you know, what things we want to put in there before all this sand starts piling into our day. And that would be the rule of life. What things am I going to organize my day around? And I know the sand's coming, but I know at least I'm going to engage in these certain things today. They're going to help me spiritually. The next thing is the resting and freedom to not do it all. So when I look at my rule, there's going to be lots of things that aren't on my rule. I might look at your rule and say, whoa, you got some nice things on your rule. I want to add them to my rule, but you know what? I've already got enough things on my rule. I can't do it all. So what this helps us do is to decide what are those things that we're going to do on a weekly basis or a daily basis or a monthly basis or a yearly basis. I'm not going to do all these other things because I've chosen to live my life in such a way that I'm going to do these things. So it helps me actually say no to things that I might otherwise say yes to because I know that my rule is more important than saying yes to this other thing. And the last thing I'd say that it can do for us is that it can help provide a God-accessible and obedience-centered life. We mentioned earlier we want to be accessible to God and His will, and we also want to obey. We want to do the things He's calling us to do. And if we follow a rule of life, God can use that rule of life to help produce this in us. Okay? So let's talk about a moment, the goal that we have for today, or the goal that I have for us. But I do have to say at this point that I am not an expert in the rule of life. I told you for a long part of my Christian life, I didn't know such a thing. So this is new to me within the last probably 6 or 7 years. So I'm learning myself. And this is the way I learn is by teaching it and by talking about it and by thinking about how this has worked in my life or not worked in my life. And so thank you for being here today as kind of guinea pigs so that we could learn together. So I'm not an expert, but what I would like to do for some of you is to help you get started. Some of you never heard of a rule of life before. Now you've heard about it. I want to help you get started with the beginning and creation of one. Some of you already have one. Maybe it's not written down, but it's in your head or it's already in your life. Maybe the idea is that thing that's in your head and in your life, we're just going to try to get it on paper so that we know like what it is, that it's more intentional. And for some of you, you already maybe have one that's written down. Maybe we're going to look at tweaking it maybe, or I do want to point you to some tools that might help you to kind of take it to the next level. So those are some of the three goals that I thought of as I thought about what we were going to talk about today. Before you start with the rule of life, there's a few things that I wanted to bring to your attention. And one of them is, what gets in the way of you having an intentional conscious plan to draw near to God? Or if you have one, what is keeping you from implementing it well? Okay, so it's question number one on your sheet. What gets in the way of you having and or implementing an intentional conscious plan for spiritual transformation? Okay, so I'm going to give you 2 or 3 minutes. It might not be enough to fully develop the question, but I do want to prime the pump. So let's sit in quietness for about 3 minutes and jot down whatever the Lord prompts you to write there on that question. You'll hear church bells ring at the end of your 3 minutes. All right, so that's the first question I want to ask you. The next question I want to ask you, and by the way, you could probably spend an hour on that one and spend some more time on that first question, but we don't have all afternoon today. So I want to move you on to the second question. And in this one, you have 4 boxes. You have prayer, resting, work, activity, and relationships. 4 boxes. The question is, are there specific things that you're doing right now to nurture your relationship with Jesus as it relates to those things in the boxes? So, for instance, for prayer, are there things that you're doing that we might consider prayer that you could put in there? What you're already doing now? Are there things that you're doing in terms of resting yourself and your body that may be helping you get closer to Jesus that you didn't even realize you were doing? What are those things? You write them in that box. Are there things that you're doing in your work life that are helping you to be connected with God during that work time, to see if that work is being done for Him and not your boss or your supervisor? Are there things that you're doing in your work life that are helping you in your relationship with Jesus? Or maybe you don't work, but what activities are you currently involved in? Activities that are helping you pursue a relationship with Jesus. And then the fourth one is relationships. Who are you connected with relationally that you could say, these relationships are really helping nurture my relationship with Jesus? And the reason we're doing this before we get started with the rule is because it's one of the exercises they suggest. But secondly, because when the first time I did this, I realized that I didn't know what a rule life was, but I realized that I had one. And I realized there was stuff on it that I didn't realize perhaps was nurturing my relationship with Jesus. I just did them because they seemed helpful to me. But I realized that they were part of a rule of life, and I already had one. I just had to decide, did I want to continue with this one? Did I want to change anything? That kind of thing. So we're going to take about 3 minutes to get this, maybe five minutes to get this started. Just see what develops in the quietness as you think about those 4 things. What things we were already doing in those areas that we might consider is helping you nurture your relationship with Jesus. That make sense? What I'm asking you? If you get stuck, just raise your hand. One of the things I will suggest, if you feel like your rule or what you've written down there in the boxes is a little sparse, I might encourage you to take that to someone that knows you well and talk to them about this and ask them if they see anything in your life. Maybe there are some things that you're unaware of that you're currently doing that might make it on that list. So that's one thing you can do. And also, along with that, I would say it is great to have someone on the journey with you that you can talk through these things with and that can hold keep you accountable to whatever it is you're going to do with the rule of life. So pursue someone that you can speak with about these things. I think that'll be important. Okay. We're going to go on to question number 3 now. And that question is about how badly you want this. Are you willing to rearrange your life? This is all on page 3 now. Am I willing to rearrange my life for what my heart wants most, or what my heart most wants? And not the brand new car and the nice house and all that. What we're talking about is intimacy with God and loving others and loving God in that realm. What are you willing to do to rearrange your life so that that thing that your heart wants, intimacy with God, will emerge? So just let's take a moment, 2 or 3 minutes to ponder that. Okay, that question is a very, very personal one, so we won't have you answer that out loud. But we're going to move on to questions 4, 5, and 6, and I'll put those out there together to you. We'll go over them first, and then I'll give you some time to ponder them. The question number 4 is about what spiritual practices and relationships have seemed to be the most powerful in meeting the desires of your heart. And again, the desire of your heart to have intimacy with God, to have connection with Jesus, to grow in your spiritual life. So maybe it's some of the things that you wrote in the boxes earlier, those 4 boxes. Maybe it's something that you used to do that is not in those boxes right now because you're not doing it. But as you look back, further back in your life, you see things that practices or relationships that were very helpful to you in your spiritual journey. It may be that you want to look and see if what those were, just so you know what they were. And you can decide whether or not you want those to be back into your rule again, or if that was just for that particular season. So that's question 4. And the idea here is just kind of asking God to help you understand what has worked for me in the past. What has been helpful to me? That's kind of what that question gets at. Question number 5 is, as you've been thinking about this for the last, hour or so, what are you beginning to understand about your minimum daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly requirements for ongoing spiritual formation? So the idea is here, on a daily basis, what are the things you have to do on a daily basis to stay connected to Jesus? There are some things God's going to show you over time that you need to do every single day. Okay? There are some things that you might add into your life and you might do more on a weekly basis. Sabbath keeping is one of those. God commanded in the Old Testament, he said, take off a day, don't work, don't do any kind of work, don't even pick up sticks, right? And that was a weekly thing that the Jewish people did in the Old Testament. They carried on in the New Testament times as well, and some Christians still continue to this day to keep a Sabbath. And some of us find that really helpful. So that's the kind of thing that you might do on a weekly basis. There are other things you might say, I'm going to do on a weekly basis, like I'm going to pray for a prayer list of people that are on prayer list, that kind of thing. And on a weekly basis, once a week, I'm going to go through and pray for all these people. First, there are some things that you might say, like on a yearly basis, I need to do these things. There's something me and my wife do. We go to a conference. It's an every other year conference. And it's something that we get to do together. It builds into our marriage, but it also helps me sharpen my skills in what I do as a pastor and as a counselor. And that, for me, the last 10, 11 years has been really helpful for me in the work that I do and the things that God has called me to do, both to pursue time with my wife, but also to sharpen some of the skills. And so that's an example of something that I do on a every other year basis that helps me. That's part of my rule. That's what question 5 is. Question 6 is about what disciplines do I need to engage in regularly as a way of offering myself to God steadily and consistently, okay? There are 3 different questions. They're all sort of related, and I'm going to give you some time. Maybe one of those questions stands out above the others. Start with that one. Maybe that's all you'll get done now, or if you get done with one of them, you can try to answer one of the other ones, but just take some time. Any questions on those 3 questions? Do they make sense? Okay. If you get confused, raise your hand. Maybe fit in here. So question 7 is, are there certain practices that are particularly needed in my life based on sins and negative patterns that I'm aware of? We all have particular ways of sinning that come natural to us, perhaps. So now the question is, if we may be struggling in one of those areas, or traditionally we struggle in one of those areas, is what could we do about that? What spiritual discipline might help us in that particular area or that particular pattern? So, I mean, this is a little bit outside the box, but for instance, I'm talking to someone right now who's addicted to pornography. And for this guy, he needs to have filtering software on his phone. Like, that's an non-negotiable part of this guy's rule of life, because he's not going to get closer to Jesus if he doesn't have that. So that's just an example. But for others of us, we have things that we think about, that we go off on tangents on, or things that we struggle with. And so the question is, what are we going to do? How are we going to arrange our lives in such a way that we're going to allow God to attack that particular sin area so that we can grow in our relationship with Jesus? Take a few minutes on that. That's probably another question that could spend an hour answering. So maybe you revisit that one at a later date. Another question that caught my attention was question number 8 that I wanted to bring to your attention for a number of reasons. But this one says, is my plan balanced with disciplines, practice in solitude, disciplines related to life with other Christians, and disciplines related to my life in my local community? So the idea is, think about the things that you do by yourself that help you relate to Christ. Think about the things that you do that involve other Christians, like worship or Bible study or praying with other Christians. Those are things that you do that have to do with life with Christians. And then think about the things you do out in the community and the things particularly that you may do where you're reaching out to other people, where you're trying to help other people that perhaps aren't Christians. All right, so those are 3 areas. Look, search through the last few weeks, the last months, the last years, and see if there are things that you've done in those areas and jot them down. Sometimes what we might find is that we're doing a lot to try to reach out to people outside the faith, but we don't have enough time in solitude or enough time with other Christians to be strong enough to do that well. Or some of us may do fine by ourselves, but we're not really doing well connecting with other Christians for some reason. Or some of us may be doing well in solitude. We might have some good Christian relationships, but you know what? We're not doing anything in the community to help people. See, this idea is to see if our rule of life is balanced across those 3 sectors. All right, so take a few moments and see what develops from that. Have you look at the next set of questions there. We're not going to answer them today, but they have to do with what changes might you need to make in order to help you make the changes that you want to make. What schedule changes, number 9, is what schedule changes will you need to make in order to consistently choose the life-giving disciplines that you've seen emerge in our time today? What changes could you make to your schedule? Question number 10 relates to what arrangements we may need to make with the people that we live with in order to make possible the rule of life that we see emerging. We may have a conversation with our family members, for instance, and let them know what we plan on doing and brainstorm ways that they could not get in the way of that or ways that they might be able to help us. Or if you're by yourself, you might consider, talking to your friends about how you would like to arrange your life and ask them some certain things that they wouldn't impose upon your time in a certain way that would get in the way of your rule of life, that kind of thing. And then the 3rd one is, are there any questions or conversations that you may need to have with people that you work with in order to make this possible? Some work environments give you like an hour to go exercise, right? Well, maybe you're going to spend that time doing something else. Maybe you're going to spend that time, going on a prayer walk or something like that. And so you might let your coworkers know during that hour when you're all exercising, I'm going to be doing something else. So don't, text me or whatever, that kind of thing. Are there conversations that we need to have with the people that we work with to tell them that we're going to take, a 15-minute break during the day, and that we need, when we have our door shut, we want to have that space to have that break, just like everyone else goes, out for a smoke break or something like that, that kind of thing. Those are questions that you can take some time to think about. Do you need to have some of those conversations in order to support the rule of life that you want to pursue? I do want to share a couple things with you before we finish that has to do with this idea of working the rule after you develop it. One of the things is to work on only one or two elements at a time. Maybe you recognize four or five things that you want to work on today. I don't know. And so one of the ideas is just working on one or two of those at a time. And maybe you realize you're going to work on four or five someday, but let's not make this too complicated or too hard. Focus on maybe one or two that you would work on in the next few weeks. The second thing is to settle into a rule so that it has time to shape your life. A lot of times we start doing something and then we stop doing it because maybe we don't see the immediate benefits, like, you know, with a diet or something like that. In this case, we want to let this rule develop a little bit so we can see how it's going to shape us. And it may take some time for us to see the results. So let's try to stick with the rule that we get started with. Also, we want to recognize that it's a work in progress. We should feel that we can change it, that we can revise it if we need to. But let's not revise it on a whim. Like, I just decide I want to add something. Let's be thoughtful about it and prayerful about it when we do make changes. And then we want to reread this thing or rethink it. St. Augustine wanted his rule of life. He wanted it read once a week so that he and the people that he participated with would have that regularity of every week being reminded of what it is that they're doing. Some of us may have our job description posted somewhere in our workspace, right, to remind us, oh yeah, this is my job, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. The idea here is similar with the rule of life as well. At least we want to revisit it at least every year to see how we're doing. And one of the things I liked, one of the people said, try a gentle noticing rather than a critiquing. Like, how many of us are really hard on ourselves and we beat ourselves up that we didn't live our rule of life well this last season of life. The idea here is, why don't we go back and gently notice and let the Lord be merciful to us and gracious to us like he is. Let us be gracious with ourselves the way the Lord's going to be with us. And the other thing there is not to be too hard on yourself. If you find that this becomes a legalistic way of you're feeling like, oh, I need to do these things to earn brownie points with God, then that would be a good time to set the rule aside and refocus yourself on why it is you're doing this. We don't earn points with God. We don't earn our way to heaven with the rule of life. We're doing this because we love God and because we want to pursue a relationship with him. So that should be the focus. And if it's not, then we need to put the thing away and maybe start over. The other thing is to be willing to make mistakes, to try again if we fail, and to learn some new things. I had some time away from the church. I took this book with me on my sabbatical. It's called The Spiritual Disciplines Handbook. And in that book, there's hundreds of different ideas of different practices to try to help us with our spiritual disciplines. And so I looked up things I had no idea what they were, and I read them over and decided to try some of them. They were things that I just either never heard of or had never tried before. That just reminded me, the idea of learning new things, the idea that we might be open to trying something different. I was taught certain spiritual disciplines and certain practices to do those disciplines when I grew up in my church, because my church had a particular way of doing things, a certain trellis, a certain scaffolding that they taught. And those things helped me, for sure. But I'm a different person now, and those things, while I still carry them with me, I've recognized that adding some new things and trying some new things brought a fresh perspective in my relationship with God, and were very life-giving to me. So I want to encourage you to try some new things. I want to acknowledge there's three books that I took heavily from, copy and paste in most cases, for today's material. And these three books are on the back table if you want to see them and see if it's a book that you might want to get for yourself. One of them is The Spiritual Disciplines Handbook by Adele Calhoun. The second one is Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by Peter Scazzaro. He has a chapter in that book about the rule of life. The Spiritual Discipline Handbook, like I mentioned earlier, is that book that has hundreds of different practices, and it has them clustered around the different spiritual disciplines. So you can take a look at that. And then there's another one called Sacred Rhythms by Ruth Haley Burton that I also found helpful. I also placed some other resources that you could look at for a rule of life to take this a little further to help you with your rule. And one of those is Creating a Rule of Life, which is written by Stephen Macchia. He's actually was a mentor to our elder team in recent history. He's a guy that lives in the Boston area. His book is back there. You can look at it and see if it's something you're interested in. That one came to me by way of Pastor Joe here at the church. He said that he went through it and he really benefited from it. I purchased the book and wanted to show it to you back there. And there's some other things there you can see. We have tagged some of the sermons here that we've preached in the last 5 to 7 years that have to do with the rule of life and put them under the topic there. And so you can see crossroadsframingham.com/sermons/topics/rule-of-life. If you click on that or type that into your browser, you'll see what those sermons are. And then I also put some other resources there that I found helpful or that some of our elders have mentioned to me that they use in their spiritual life. And so I placed some of those in there as well. Wow, I finished talking and it's 2:00. So.
Thank you for being here. I'd like to pray for you before we go. Lord, thank you for my friends who have come out today. And I pray, Lord, that if we get anything out of this time, that we could simply get, Lord, that you want us to be in union with you and that you want us to arrange our lives and our time in such a way that we can have that union with you. That is what you made us for. You made us to glorify you and to enjoy you forever. And so I pray that what we might get out of this time is that we're going to spend more time enjoying our relationship with you, that we're going to spend more time arranging our lives so that you can bring us that fullness of life that Jesus told us about. And so he secured that life for us by his death and his resurrection and ascension. And Jesus, we thank you that you're at the right hand of the Father right now, praying and making intercession for us and calling us and inviting us to this way of life, which has you at the very center. And so I pray, Lord, that we may be able to support one another as we choose that life, that way of life. Amen.
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 Thanks for being here.